I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Amen. That's real for me. That's real for me.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to Him. Amen. Take your Bible, look in Isaiah chapter 66 this morning. Isaiah 66. We're going to do a lot of turning this morning. Isaiah 66. We ought to be living our life in view of the second coming of Jesus Christ. We ought to be living our lives looking forward to Jesus Christ coming. When I first got saved back in the 70s, I was at Riverdale Baptist Church where I got saved. I never forget, they showed some film, and they was preaching about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I mean, I've ride down the road. It was so real to me that I would ride down the road, and every time I see a break in the cloud, I would look up. Really. The Bible says, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And I still ride down the road. If I see the sun blaring through the clouds, I start looking up, thinking I could see the Lord stepping out on that cloud, calling our names. Most Christians don't live their life in light of the second coming of Jesus Christ. They live their life on the day by day, now by now, whatever is going to appeal to me, whatever I want to do. And then it's not Jesus Christ I pledge allegiance to. It's about whatever I can get out of life, and I want to enjoy life. And that's the way it is. And most Christians live that way. And Jesse was talking about, how people this day and time, I've talked to preachers all over the country, and they said, man, every congregation they go to seems like people just kind of got bored with it, bored with the thought of Jesus Christ coming back. What if the Lord came back to right now? Would you be ready? Would you be ready? You say, well, I'd have to go anyway, no matter what. But would you want him to come back? Would you want him to come back? Would you want him to come? Is there anything in your life that would you say, no, not now, not now. Don't do it now. I ain't ready yet. I'm not ready. The old saying is, ready or not, here I come. And the Lord's coming. The Bible says, in such hours you think not the Son of Man coming. He's coming, whether you like it or not, whether you want him to or not, he's coming back. And there's prophecies in the Bible, 300 some prophecy in the New Testament about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says God is not pointing us to wrath. A lot of times we believe in eternal security. We do. We believe in eternal security. We get kind of comfortable and saying, well, I'm not going to go to hell. I'm not worried about suffering wrath and all that. So I'm just going to live the way I want to live, and I'll live that life until Jesus comes. And if I think he's coming back soon, I'll get things together and patch everything up, and then I'll serve him. And that's not the way it's going to be. That's not the way it should be. In Isaiah 66, the Lord talks about, look at verse 15. He says, behold, the Lord will come with fire, and his chariots like a whirlwind. And I know this is the second advent. There's two parts to the second coming of Jesus Christ. The first is the rapture, and then the second advent. You all know that. As the rapture, how many are ready for the rapture?
Amen.
The rapture is going to be a rupture. Amen. The rapture is going to be a rupture. I mean, the Lord's going to come back and rapture us out of here. And to such hours, you think not. Now, if the Lord came back right now, we'd be transported. If you're not saved sitting in here, you'd be sitting here by yourself, and we'd be clothes left behind. And I believe there's going to be blood left behind because the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But the Lord's going to change our vile bodies, fashion like on his glorious body. And you think about this. You think about all your loved ones that's going to be left behind. You think about what the Bible says is going to be hell on earth. Man says this is hell on earth. It's going to turn into hell on earth. Are you ready to leave them without a witness? Are you ready to leave them without telling them and living in front of them about the kind of life a Christian ought to live and showing the love that for Jesus Christ that you should have in your life? A lot of people, the church is kind of second, it's kind of takes a back seat, and serving God takes a back seat, and man, reading your Bible takes a back seat. And I mean, right now, NFL season's in, and I mean, it's all about who's going to win the Super Bowl, who's going to do the best, who cares? Who cares? I like football, I like watching, but some people are so caught up, that's their life. The Bible says, what is your life but a vapor appeared for a little while and then vanished away? Some people are just so caught up in football and sports and other things that that's all they worry about. And the Lord's going to come back and he goes, who won the game?
Jesus.
The Lord's going to, there's a heartbeat of God is for his son to sit on the throne. That's the heartbeat of God. And most Christians don't live their life as if Jesus is going to come anytime soon. And a lot of times we say, well, he's not going to come right now. We've been hearing about that. I've been hearing about it since 1974 when I got saved. I've been hearing about the Lord coming back, and I've been looking for him. And I want him to come. I want him to come back. I want to make sure my family's saved. I want to witness to them. I want to see my grandkids saved. I mean, no parent or grandparent in their right mind that don't want to see their family saved and their grandkids saved. But they're not going to get saved if you're a hypocrite. They're not going to get saved if you're living one life like you want to live it and enjoy what you want to do and then come back and say, oh, Jesus is coming. They're going to say, just like Lot. You know, there's always Christians in the Bible. There's Christians in this day and time that remind others of Lot in the Bible. Lot went up to his family, and he went to his family in Genesis chapter, 19. And he went to his family and said, hey, God's going to destroy this place. He's coming back. And the Bible says they mocked him because of the way he lived. They made fun of him the way he lived. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're living the life that you ought to be living, people will listen. They'll listen to you. The Bible says, behold, the Lord will come with fire and with chariots like a whirlwind. And this is the second advent. And to render his angels with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh. And the slain of the Lord shall be many. And this is the second advent. But look on down and verse 17. And they that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst eating swine's flesh, the abomination, and the mouse, and he shall he consume together, saith the Lord. Behold, I know their works and their thoughts, and it shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations. And God's, this is the second advent. Now look on down, look at verse 20. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of all nations upon horses and in chariots and in litters and upon mules and upon their swift beasts to my holy mountain, Jerusalem, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in the clean vessel on the Lord's house. And I will also take of them for a priest and so on. He said then, verse 22, as a new heavens and as the new heavens and the new earth I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. Talk about the Jews. Now go take your Bible, look over to Matthew 24. Go to Matthew 24. This is serious business, man. I've been watching the news. You know, I was reading, Brother Grady put out a book called Holy Ground. And I tell you what, it's a good book. I recommend you get that book. He's got a lot of documented evidence in there, a lot of documented things that about Israel and about how the nation was started, how God formed that thing, how the Balfour Declaration came about in 1917, and the British, you know, the whole thing. He's got everything in there about how God was orchestrating to bring Israel back to their land. And God tells through the book of Jeremiah, he says, I'm going to take you out of your land. Y'all make me sick. And I'm going to take you out. And Nebuchadnezzar comes and destroys the temple. And God takes them out of their land, takes them to Babylon. And then he gives Daniel, in the book of Daniel. Daniel is a of the king's seed. He's in Babylon. And Daniel ends up getting a prophecy that's still going on right now. Daniel chapter 2, you read it, about the beast and about this four kingdoms. My brother Mike was touching on that the other day. And about the four kingdoms. You got the Nebuchadnezzar, which represents Babylon, and then the Medes and the Persians, and where they end up going back, rebuilding the temple, where Darius allows them to go back. And then you've got the Grecian Empire, and then you got Rome, and Rome's still going on. If you see the image of Daniel chapter 2, you'll find that's going on. And this stuff is coming down the pike. You say, where is it at right now? Where is the Lord? It's like a traveling down the image, and he's traveling down through the four kingdoms. The first kingdom's been done away with. The second kingdom still has been done away with. It's still, I mean, they're still there, but it's been done away with when it comes to power of the world. And then the Grecian Empire, and then Rome. And we're down about right about to the feet or the ankles. You say, what does that have anything to do with anything? Because the Bible talks about that when the Antichrist comes, he's going to set up 10 nations that represents the 10 toes, part of that kingdom. Man, we're there. And you know what? The United Nations, Israel didn't become a nation. The Lord said, I don't want you to participate with those nations. They said in 1 Samuel, they said, make us a king like all the other nations. They wanted to be like everybody else. And God said, you're not like everybody else. You're not like them. And they said, we don't care. We want a king. And God said, no, I'm your king. And they said, no, we want a king. So God says that he tells Samuel, don't you get upset, Samuel. They haven't rejected you. They rejected me. You know what people are doing right now? They're rejecting God. They reject Jesus Christ. Christians reject Jesus Christ running their life. They reject him. They're saved. They're going to heaven. But they're rejecting Jesus Christ to run their life. They don't want him to run their life. They say, may I run my own life? So here we're down by the ankles. About close. I mean, Rome's still in power. It's political and religious. They're still in power. I mean, all has to happen right now is the Antichrist step out. The rapture takes place, the Antichrist steps out. I mean, that's all that has to happen. Everything's been done. I mean, all prophecy been fulfilled. The Lord, the prophecy about Jesus Christ being born of a virgin, about him riding on a donkey into Jerusalem, and them saying, Hosanna to the king, and then he was crucified, and he resurrected, and he said, I'll come again. In like manner, angel says that, says he's going to come again in like manner in the clouds. Everything's been fulfilled. And here we are at the Laodicean period of the church age, and all the Christians are falling asleep, and the things don't excite them anymore about Jesus Christ. I remember when Jesse used to sing that song, everybody in the whole building would stand up. I stand. Here I stand. People, only a few more are standing up now. Why? Apathy's set in. And you say, well, I've heard that. I've heard that preaching. I tell you, well, I never get tired of hearing it. Amen. When you're right with the Lord and you want to see Jesus Christ come back, you never get tired of hearing it. You want the Lord to come back.
Amen.
You say, man, well, we've been hearing it for 40 years. I have. 40 years. Man, I tell you what, we're closer now than we ever was.
Yeah.
Ever was. The Lord could come back right now. In Matthew 24, I know this is the second advent, but Matthew 24, look at verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, and I was on the Mount of Olives, I sat there looking at the Mount of Olives going, wow. And you can look, from the Mount of Olives, you look over at the city of Jerusalem. You look at the walls. I could see the dome. I got video where I'm pointing to the Dome of the Rock. I said, there it is. We're on top of the Mount of Olives. Jesus was there. I mean, man, these are places that we can go to and see. It's not just a fairy tale. I mean, the Lord said, I'm coming back. Guess what? He's coming. The scripture was fulfilled for his birth, for his death, for his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. I mean, man, for his resurrection. All that scripture been fulfilled. And then the prophets didn't see a church age. They didn't see that. For 2,000 years, it's been a church age. The prophets didn't see that. None of them seen that. And here we are 2,000 years later. In the church age with the Gentiles, the Bible says there's neither Jew nor Gentile in the church of God. And I mean, here's the Gentiles and the Jew together. And the Gentiles has got to where, oh, it's boring. I don't want to hear this no more. I got my life to live. I got to pay my bills. I got this going on. I got that going on. I mean, man, we ought to live our life in light of the second coming of Jesus Christ. We ought to be excited about him coming back. We ought to look forward to it. We ought to be praying. Even so, come Lord Jesus, like the book of Revelation tells us. Even so, come on, Lord. Come on back. You say, well, I got too many things I want to do. I want to get a new boat. I want to get this. I want to get that. I want to get these things. I got to have these things. I mean, them things, I tell you what, in the millennium, the Lord might let you have them things. I mean, free of charge, man.
Yeah.
You say, well, oh, that's crazy. You don't know. The Lord can let you have that stuff in the millennium. Why? You're going to rule and reign with him if you served him. If you haven't ruled and reigned with him now, or you haven't served him now, you're not going to rule and reign with him. Look at Matthew 24. He says, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and he went from the eastern gate, because you come right through the eastern gate is where the temple is. And they blocked that thing up. Now the Dome of the Rock is there. And man, we're up on top of the Mount of Olives, and the Arabs were up there. The Arabs were up there, and they had camels. They were selling all kinds of goods and stuff like that. And we're up there looking at, and we're looking down over the Mount of Olives, and all the Jewish graves are right there on the Mount of Olives. And they're above ground, and they're facing towards the temple. Oh, man, that excites me. And Brother Glenn, you can hear Brother Glenn talking. It was all new to me. And I'm over there, and Glenn says, look at that. He said, the Jews are so cheap, they won't buy flowers, so they put rocks on top of their grave as a representative of their family. But you know, the Bible says the Lord said the rocks would cry out. And here, and the Arabs, they went right across the little brook. They went right across the brook, right outside the eastern gate. They have the graveyard for the Arabs. Why did they put it there? They put it there to block the Messiah. They put it there so no Jews could go through that eastern gate. They think they're going to stop the Lord. They believe they're going to stop the Messiah. Man, my Lord, they ain't going to stop him. Guess what he's going to do? He's going to walk right through there. He's going to ride right through there and bust the gate open. And man, that's going to be wild. But the rapture's got to take place. And you say, well, we see that? Yeah, you'll see it. You'll see it. Man, it excites me. I was just reading that Holy Ground. I'm reading that thing. I'm shaking reading it. Going, whoo! Man, this is something. All the prophecies and all the things that he was throwing out in that book, how the Bible says this and the Bible says that about Jerusalem. And we could look at all the scriptures today over in Zechariah. And man, about Jerusalem, how Jerusalem was the apple of his eye. Jerusalem, apple of God's eye. How in eternity, what are we going to be speaking? All going to be speaking Hebrew. Everybody's going to be speaking Hebrew. That's the perfect language to God. Now, does God know all languages? Yeah. He said, what did they preach or what did they speak in Genesis chapter 10 before God confounded the languages? Hebrew. He said, well, Saul said, he spoke to me in the Hebrew language. When Sennacherib came up to the Jerusalem and he started, he sent his captain up there and one of the recorders said, don't speak to us in the Hebrew language. Speak to us in the Syrian language. We understand that. And they kept on speaking in the Hebrew language because they wanted the people to turn against Hezekiah. And God sent an angel out there that night because the pride of Sennacherib, and God sent an angel out there and wiped out 185,000 men one night. Sennacherib runs back to his own land, Assyria. He goes back to Assyria, Nineveh, and he goes in, and his two sons kill him right there in his own little God's temple. Man, I'm telling you, folks, you start reading prophecy, you start reading that Bible, and start looking at this stuff, you go, whoa, man, I can see this stuff coming down the pike. I mean, the Lord's coming back, and it's real. And most Christians are like, oh, when is this going to be over? We want to go home. I want to go to the restaurant. I want to do this. And we all do. I want to go to the restaurant or eat dinner, amen? But I'm going to tell you something. The Lord's coming back. And he's going to check you out. And he said, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which is God's. You're going to have to answer for what you've done in your body since you've been saved. But I say it's high time to start getting busy for him, amen? Even, matter of fact, just look busy, hallelujah. But you ought to be getting busy for him. The Lord's coming back. I mean, look at Matthew 24. And it says, and his disciples came to him to show him the building of the temple. And they were trying to say, look, Lord, look at the temple. I mean, we went into the Temple Institute. The temple was amazing. It was something else. The original temple's not there. They want to rebuild it. And you see, God destroyed that thing to show the Jews, the temple now is your body. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. You're not your own. Amen. You're not your own. Amen. You're not your own. Yeah. You're bought with a price. Amen. God wants to show them Jews, your body is the new temple. God's living in you. I was going to preach on the mysteries of God. And one of them, the mysteries in the Bible, is Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. I mean, we're supposed to be the most joyous people on the face of the earth. Why? Because the temple's inside of us. Yeah. It's our body. Yeah. And we ought to be joyful knowing that we're going to heaven. Amen. Knowing that our name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Knowing, man, I mean, I've got the truth. What a blessing. Yeah. But I find Christians are not happy. They're not witnessing. They're not telling people about Jesus Christ. They are ashamed of the Lord. You know what the Lord said? He said, you'll be ashamed of me and my words. I'll be ashamed of you. So what do you mean he'll be ashamed of you? You'll be standing there at your judgment seat of Christ, and he'll walk up to you, and you won't have anything for show for your life. It'll just all be burn up. Nothing to show. God can have, he can have millions of people at the judgment seat of Christ and at the same time judge everybody at the same time. And you say, what do you mean? He'll be ashamed of you. He'll walk by you and look at your, and look at what you had, and you'll be standing there. And right in front of you, your everything you've done in your life will be in the fire. See if there's any silver, gold, precious stone. The Lord will walk by and go, did you love me? He gave you an example when he said to Peter, you love me? Do you love him this morning? Do you love him? Well, you don't know what they said about me. Who cares? You know, so-and-so's talking about my kids. They talk about mine. Who cares? It's not about that. You're supposed to be living your life in light of his coming. So, man, people up the church upset me. You don't know what they're doing. I know what they're doing. All flesh is grass, man. My job is trying to encourage them to go on. Serve God. So everybody going to get it? No, they just don't get it. Everybody just don't get it. I mean, we ought to be living our life in light of him coming back any day now. Just any day now, our Lord is coming. He'll be returning for you and me. Oh, I've been watching and I've been waiting. Just any day now, his face I'll see. Don't be ashamed when you stand before him and say, Lord, I tried.
Yeah.
I gave him my best shot, Lord. And the Lord said, well, you've been bought with a price. My precious blood paid for you. Man, we ought to be living our life in light of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said in verse 2, Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? And the Jews were, they were bragging about the temple. Look at the temple. Look what we got. What happens is we Gentiles, we like things. I got a lot of things. And those things will hinder you if you allow it. If you allow things to get in the way of loving God, serving God, then no things will become a God to you. A job, a car, truck, whatever it is. Brother Mike was talking about things he just wanted to give away. I could do that. I could give that to somebody. It blesses to see somebody use something you gave them. It would bother you. Went by their house, and you see whatever you gave them was out in the trash. How do you think the Lord feels?
Yeah.
The gifts he gave you, the things he's given you, and they don't mean nothing to you. He's given you eternal life. This ain't the message. But Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another. That prophecy was fulfilled. That shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, when I was up on the Mount of Olives, I was walking around, I'm thinking, well, I wonder where he sat. Where did he sit? Man, we was up there looking around going, wow. He was sitting there. He had to be around this area because he was looking at Jerusalem, because he stood over Jerusalem. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you as a hen gathered her chicks, but you would not. He had to be right there looking at it. They were bragging about the temple, and he's up there saying, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you. Man, and man, he stood there looking at that place. I thought, where he stood? I would like to stand where he stood. We went to the Garden of Gethsemane, right across, down from the Mount of Olives. It's right at the bottom of the Mount of Olives, the Garden of Gethsemane. And we went down there, and man, we went in there, and we saw a tree. Like I've told you, it was over 2,000 years old. We stood next to that tree. They got a gate around it. We stood next to that tree. I'm thinking, I wonder if that tree came as a result of his tears. Because the tree looks weird. It's a weird looking tree. Because the Bible says he sweat drops of blood, great drops of blood. I thought about that tree. Wonder if that sprung up as a result of him. How burdened he was. How broken he was. And disciples couldn't even stay awake to watch and pray. He said, watch and pray lest you enter temptation. You said, where are we at? We're at the same place. Man, we're at the same place. But he's not sweating great drops of blood. He's already shed his blood. Verse 3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming, the end of the world? And Jesus answered, said unto them, he says, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name. We've already heard that throughout history. Many people have come in the name of Jesus Christ. You know what? Joseph Smith claims that, you know, he got this new religion. And then you got all these different ones. I just read in that Holy Ground, I didn't know this, John Hagee believes, I like to watch John Hagee because he got some prophecy. But John Hagee believes the Jews don't have to get saved like you and I. John Hagee believes they're already saved. They're going to heaven no matter what. That's crazy. That's blasphemy. Because if John Hagee believes that the Jews are saved because they're Jews, then that Jesus Christ died in vain. There's all kinds of scripture on why he said, I've come to you and you rejected me. You wouldn't receive me. And they killed him. And John Hagee says, oh, they're all good. They're good. Well, I don't have to preach to them. I don't have to tell them about Jesus Christ. And then a guy named Tex Mar down in Texas, both of them in Texas, and this guy, it's in the book, Holy Ground. And this guy says, he said, Jesus Christ wasn't even a Jew. He wasn't even a Jew. He didn't die for nobody, really. I mean, he wasn't even a Jew. And then you got the Muslims saying he wasn't really the Messiah. He was just a good man. He was just a prophet. You got all these people teaching this stuff, teaching all this falsehood. And you're sitting here with a Bible, King James Bible in your lap, at least I hope you got one, sitting in your lap, and you can read it for yourself, and he proclaimed to be the Son of God, which he was. And he proclaimed he was coming again. He proclaimed he was going to die. He proclaimed. Now take your Bible, look with me. Look with me to Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18. Moses proclaimed that he was going to come. Deuteronomy 18. All the way through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, you'll find a scripture, like in Genesis chapter 3, when Jesus, after man had sinned, Jesus promised God promised that the Messiah was going to come. He said, he'll bruise your head. Your bruise is healed. Deuteronomy 18. So prophecy is important. Now, some people, all they do is all they want is prophecy, 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 but they don't do nothing else with it. They just, you know, hold it to themselves. They want to look smart. But look what the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. And the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren. He's a Jew. Jesus Christ was a prophet on this planet. But then he became a priest. He's a priest right now. What is his position in heaven? According to Hebrews, his position in heaven is a priest, a high priest right now. You say, when is he going to be king? He can be king right now in your life if you'll let him. He can be king. Lord, what would thou have me to do? He can be king, but he hadn't got his throne yet. But he's going to be a king. He was a prophet when he was on this planet, and then he died, and now he's a priest in heaven. I'll show you that in a minute. But look in Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. And the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet like in the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, and unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. They were scared to death because they seen that fire, the burning bush, and they seen the fire and all that, and they said, man, I don't want to die. God, the Bible says God is a consuming fire. A consuming fire. You know when the three Hebrew children went in the fire that Nebuchadnezzar, he said, heat up the furnace seven times hotter, and they threw him in there, and God was in there. God can take any pain or any flame or any temperature, anything away from that person like he did to three Hebrew children. And Nebuchadnezzar came up and said, I see four men, one like unto the Son of God. And they have no hurt. But God's a consuming fire. Look here. He says, great fire anymore that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, the Jews, like unto thee. And I will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass. See, Jesus Christ spoke the words of the Father. They rejected the words of the Father. When you reject the words of God, the Bible, you reject the words of the Father. You reject them. You ain't going to tell me what to do. It's just like that rebellious son, that prodigal son Brother Mike talked about this morning. He came to himself. You know what most Christians need to do? They need to come to themselves and realize, hey, the Lord's coming back. I need to get my house in order. I need to get back to the Father. I need to get back living right. I need to get back. I'm just going to go back and say, God, I know I just want to be a servant. That's all we are, servants. We're sons, but we're servants. Most Christians say, well, I've served. I did my 3 years. You know what the Mormons teach? The Mormons teach the kids they got to go out for 3 years or 2 years as missionaries, and they're good. You know, Jesus never taught that. That's just a religion teaching that junk. Look at this. Look, I will raise on them a prophet from among my brethren, like unto me. Thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, talking to Moses, he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto thy words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, so or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thy heart, how shall we know the word that the Lord hath spoke, not smoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, and the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet that hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. The Lord said, if this thing doesn't come to pass that he spoke, he said, then you kill him. He's a false prophet. And, you know, some of the prophets were in danger. Why? Because some of the prophecies they gave was for 2,000 years later. Isaiah, we're reading Isaiah. Isaiah talking about the second coming of the Lord. Look in, take your Bible, look at Zechariah. Look over in Zechariah. This thing, man, stirs me up, knowing the Lord's going to come back. I mean, we know it. We know we've been talking about the Lord's coming back, but in even the newscast they say that stuff. They say, oh, you know, in light of these preachers preaching about the Lord coming back, scaring everybody. They're talking about God coming back, and God's going to consuming fire and all that stuff. And they say, oh, just scaring everybody. They're just trying to keep them in line. Yeah, that's crazy. Look in Zechariah and look at verse. Look at chapter 2. He says in chapter 2, this is the second advent. I lift up mine eyes again and look, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. There's stuff going on in heaven right now. There's stuff going on on this planet that you have no idea of what's happening. You have no idea. The angelic world, I mean, if you read your Bible, you read about the angelic world. You got the Satan's angels and you got God's angels. You don't realize what's going on, man. There's stuff going on. When Daniel prayed in Daniel chapter 10, he prayed and it said he was held up. The angel of Persia held him up. Gabriel came to him and said, hey, I was held up. He said, but come back in 21 days to answer your prayer. A lot of times you don't get our prayers answered. We go, oh, God didn't want to hear that. And we give up. And Daniel didn't give up. He prayed 3 times a day. You pray for your loved ones. Don't give up. Pray they get saved. And the Bible says this. It says, and then said I will go, goest thou. And he said unto me, verse 2, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof, and what is the length thereof. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him, and said unto him, run, speak to the young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and the cattle therein. Jerusalem's got three sets of walls. Two major sets of walls around it. It was added for defense. He said, the wall is going to come down. And for I saith the Lord, will be her a wall of fire round about, and will be glory in the midst of her. Ho, ho, come forth and flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord. For I will spread you abroad as the four winds of the heaven, saith the Lord. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwelleth with the daughters of Babylon. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that touches you touches the apple of my what? Of his eye. God said, whoever touches Jerusalem touches me, what I love. You say, what is the Lord going to do? You know, Israel became in the United Nations, 1975, 1976, somewhere in there, they voted them in as a nation. But, I mean, it was only by twisting arms and forcing, and because Israel wanted to be among the nations of the world. And the Lord said, I didn't want you to be among them. I mean, even at United Nations, they take the Bible and they use Isaiah. They said, we're going to beat our swords into plowshares and study war no more. That's a prophecy about when the Lord comes back. But they took that verse and put it on the, it's called the Isaiah wall. If you go to New York, up there to the United Nations, they got that on the wall. They got Bible on the wall. They don't believe it. They don't believe it one bit. And the Lord's going to, I think I checked, I was 100 or 212 nations in the United Nations. Every one of them, when it comes down to Israel, they vote against Israel. Only the United States stands with Israel. And when Donald Trump, people don't understand, when Donald Trump said, I recognize Jerusalem as the capital of the Israeli nation, brother, he had made a statement. And matter of fact, he backed it up, and they built an embassy there. And man, when he backed that up, Israel's rejoicing in the streets. They were rejoicing. You know what they did? They took a shekel, and they put Donald Trump's figure on it with a Persian king. They put his, I mean, Donald Trump did something that no other president, everybody claimed they were going to do it. Obama said, I knew he wasn't going to do it. Why? Because his father is Iranian. He was from Kenya, but he was of the Shiite. That's what I meant. He was of the Shiite tribe. Though he was in Kenya, he was from the Shiite tribe, his father was. That's why $100 million went to Iran. It's some crazy stuff, folks. There's stuff going on in the atmosphere you had no idea. If you knew, you'd have a heart attack. And if you knew what was going on around Washington, around the nations, you would have a heart attack. I mean, this thing's going to come to a head. It's like a boil or like a pimple on the back. It's going to pop one day. This thing's going to come down. It's going to pop. And guess who's going to pop it? The Lord is. He said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you better get your house in order. I'm saying you better get back close to God. You said the rapture is going to take place. I ain't worried about it. We're going to go out of here in the rapture. Yeah, but you're going to have to stand before him. You're going to have to look him in the eyes. And when he shows you all the things that he protected you from, how he took care of you, allowed you to be born in America. Man, and all the blessings he's given. Like Brother Mike was saying, about a dry morsel. We hardly ever in America ever had to struggle to have food. Ever, ever. Can you imagine the Lord showing you some people in Kenya, in Africa, in parts of the world, China, that struggled every day, prayed to God for my daily bread. And here we go to Wendy's. We pulled up last night and just said, I want to go to the store, get Wawa. I pulled up and said, there's Wendy's, there's Burger King, there's McDonald's. And man, there's some Arby's, and there's so much that we can pick from. And you think you ain't blessed? Look at all the grocery stores, all the things you can go in, get anything anytime you want. People walk around and say, I ain't got nothing. I just want. And you're just depressed and all upset about everything. I'm going to tell you something, man. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. Brother, I'll tell you what, you've got what you need. Wow. Man, this thing stirs me up. Look over to chapter 1. Look at chapter 1, verse 16. Therefore, saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts, and the lion shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. Cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Jerusalem. I watched that thing when the Jews went to take Jerusalem back. When I was walking into the Lion Gate, Linda and I and Brother Glenn, we walked through the Lion Gate. That's the same gate that General Allen, that's who it was, General Allen of the British military. He walked through that Lion Gate. They got a picture of him walking through. And the missionary, Brother Morales, he said to me, he said, look at all the bullet holes. You go around these walls, you see all the 50 caliber bullet holes and all the stuff that this nation or this city had been fought over, I think, 48, 49 times by different nations and different people. We walked into Old Jerusalem, and when it was Old Jerusalem, guess who runs it, basically, inside there? The Israeli soldiers have it. I walked up. I was trying to talk to all these Israeli soldiers whenever I went. I got pictures with one in McDonald's, and I tried to talk to them. And I was telling them, the Messiah's coming. But I said, y'all going to believe a lie. I told that in the Temple Institute. I said, y'all going to believe a lie. A guy had his sunglasses on. He was an Israeli agent, and he's following us around. And I said, you're going to believe a lie because I said, are you ready to rebuild the temple? He said, we're ready right now. I said, you know what? You'll start World War III. He said, no. We won't start World War III. He said, the Jews don't have a holy place. The Muslims do, but we have no holy place. They got two others. And I said, well, you do that, you're going to start World War III. The Antichrist is going to come and do it. They want to do it right now. They got everything. I asked him, I said, is that the menorah out there? Is that the original? He said, no, Rome has it. Prophecy. And I said, do you all have the Ark of the Covenant? He said, yes. And when he said Rome had the menorah, which is the candlesticks, the seven candles, it's about this tall, solid gold. And he said, Rome has it. I said, that stinking Pope. I said, he's a liar and a cheat. I said, I said something. And he started laughing when I said that. Then he took his glasses off and started looking me in the eyes. So I started telling him about the Assyrian coming, Isaiah chapter 10. And he goes, I said, you're going to believe a lie, and you're going to believe in the Antichrist, is not Jesus Christ, is going to believe a lie. He said, we won't follow an Assyrian. No way. If I would have thought quickly, I would have said to him, Abraham came from Assyria. I said, you're going to follow an Assyrian. He goes, no way we'll follow no Assyrian. I said, do you have the Ark of the Covenant? He said, yes, we do. And I went through a bunch of things about that, and I said, where is it? He said, underground. He said, we're ready right now to build a temple. That gave me chills. The temple had been destroyed since 70 AD. The Jews know they have to have that temple for sacrifice. They don't believe Jesus Christ is Messiah. John Hagee saying, oh, they're saved. They don't need to be saved like we do. That's crazy. That's blasphemy. Jesus said, I come to seek and to save that which was lost, the Jews. Yeah. I've come only to the house of Israel. Yep. Gentiles, us Gentiles got in on it. Well, I have to stop right there. I got too much going on here. Amen. Lord, thank you, God, for your word. My Father, help us to get our house in order. Help us to live our life in light of the second coming of Jesus Christ.